You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from House for All Sinners and Saints. We are an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregation in Denver, Colorado, and you can find out more about us at www.houseforall.org. Grace, peace, and mercy is yours from the triune God. Amen. Years ago, a couple friends of mine who were both stand-up comics decided that for the Valentine's Day season, they would try and get in on the chocolate heart business. Only their chocolate hearts were special, because their chocolate hearts were anatomically correct, complete with four chambers and a red aorta. They even came packaged in a little white box with a handle that looked just like an igloo cooler in which organ donations were transported. It was totally hilarious and an absolute business failure. I thought about that this week as I read our text for today, because I never understood why the heart, that four-chambered thing with the red aorta, is the place where we say love and friendship and sentimental pictures of puppies comes from. Honestly, I'm not sure why we envision those things coming from an internal organ at all. But the point is that most times when we speak of the human heart, we speak of love and affection and sentimentality and friendship and, of course, puppies, which is so sweet. And don't we just love people who have a big heart? Sometimes in church circles, actually only in church circles, because really only Christians say things like this, you'll hear people say, I just have a heart for fill in the blank, some group they're not a part of. I just have a heart for Guatemalans. I just have a heart for the gays. I just have a heart for artists in the city. Anyhow, this is how we most often speak of the heart: love, concern, affection, rainbows, etc. But just in case you didn't catch it in our gospel reading for today, this is not how Jesus speaks of the human heart. I'll repeat it just in case you didn't catch it the first time. For out of the human heart, Jesus says, comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. Wow, so much for friendship and rainbows. I think maybe Jesus has a slightly different view of the human heart than we do. See, right before he says this thing about the darkness of the human heart, Jesus had just had a little throwdown with some super religious dudes who were feeling a wee bit superior. These Pharisees were like, hey, Jesus, your disciples aren't washing their hands, and they're eating with the wrong kind of food with the wrong kind of people. And the Pharisees were pointing out how everything that the disciples were doing and eating and thinking and saying was wrong, 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 as a way of also showing how everything about them was right, right, right. And I thought, man, these guys would have loved Facebook. So the Pharisees were like, man, Jesus' disciples, what a bunch of losers who don't get it. So Jesus says, you think you're all that because you keep the rules and eat the right stuff? You think that makes you pure of heart? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, Jesus says, but what comes out of it. For out of the human heart comes, as we just heard, evil intentions, murder, adultery, etc. And after reading this, I'm like, man, the Pharisees, what a bunch of losers who don't get it. Which, I will suggest, is also exactly what the disciples were thinking. So, to teach them a lesson, Jesus moseys over to the wrong side of the tracks. And then this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman, this unclean, impure woman, comes shouting at Jesus for mercy and healing. And like any good disciples of Jesus, these guys, feeling a wee bit superior, were like, wow, she's annoying. Jesus, can we just get rid of her? So Jesus decides to play with them a little more. And he's like, yeah, she's such a loser who doesn't get it. After all, I only give mercy and healing to winners who already totally get it. To actually quote the text and to stop with the revised Nadia Standard Version. And the Canaanite woman came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And here's why this Canaanite woman is basically my hero. She totally sasses Jesus. She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Now, on a totally personal level, I love a biblical text in which Jesus commends the faith of a sass-mouthed woman. A lot of folks get hung up on the fact that Jesus seems to us to be a real jerk in this story. But the thing is, I think he wanted us to know that the Canaanite woman got a very basic idea of Christianity that the Pharisees and the disciples didn't get. And that is that grace and mercy and healing have always been for people who are basically dogs. It's kind of like that tale of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18, if you remember. When this super duper religious guy prays, "Lord, thank you that I am not like this tax collector here. Thank you that I am not like those Christians who say stupid things like, I just have a heart for the Guatemalans. Thank you, Lord, that I am not like the people at church who never bring food to the potlucks. Thank you, Lord, that I am not like all those intolerant people or like my parents. And thank you, Lord, I am not like those racist cops. Yes, thank you, Jesus." And again, this is what it looks like to justify ourselves. This is what it looks like to use our self-named virtues to try and justify ourselves before God and before others. This is what it looks like to say that our human hearts are a source of only love and goodness and rainbows. But Jesus calls BS on it. He calls it on the Pharisees, and he calls it on the disciples, and frankly, he calls it on us. He names the human heart for what it is. And in Luke 18, he asks, "Who is justified before God? The righteous one who prays, 'Thank you, I'm not like the sinner,' or the sinner who prays, 'Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner'?" See, the Canaanite woman is the hero of this story because she doesn't try to justify herself before God. She's like, "Jesus, you're right. I'm a loser who doesn't get it. So, you know, hand over the goods already." She knew that if our hearts were pure and undefiled and filled with nothing but friendship and sentimental memes of cute puppies and inspirational verses, then why would we even need Jesus? The sass-mouthed Canaanite woman was like, "Yeah, of course, I'm a dog. Why else would I be on my knees asking for mercy and healing?" Just to be clear, that's not having low self-esteem. That's just finally admitting the truth, and admitting the truth is always an act of faith. Never once in Scripture did Jesus commend the faith of anyone who was a wee bit superior and pure-hearted and smug and not actually needing him. You know why? He came to save sinners. He came to heal the sick and open the eyes of the blind. So how the hell Christianity became about being smug and intolerant and a wee bit superior is beyond me. So, if you are a loser who doesn't get it, if you have a heart that is sometimes dark and selfish, if you are a liar, or if you rely too much on alcohol, or if you are a thief or think some really horrible things about other people, like almost all the time, then know this. Jesus came to trade all that broken crap for his own righteousness, all of it. You can just lay it down at the foot of the cross and let him take it from you. It's his now. He can make you new. I know it sounds crazy, but I just can't tell you how true it is that when we were yet sinners, when we were yet losers who didn't get it, when we were yet smug perfectionists, when we were yet racist, Jesus came to save. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord, for we are indeed losers who don't get it. And like the Canaanite woman, we are on our knees begging for mercy and healing and help. We've made a mess of things here in this world, and we frankly don't know what else to do. So Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on black boys and racist cops. Have mercy on Palestinians and Israelis. Have mercy on victims and perpetrators. And bring some healing, Lord. Bring it in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. And if we sound a little sass-mouthed about this, good. Because today we are holding your feet to the fire. Because you promised. You promise to be with us and to bring salvation and to bring new life. And even if it is nothing but crumbs from your table, and even if we are but dogs, we are boldly claiming those promises as our own and reminding you to show the hell up and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Again, please. Amen. If these sermons are meaningful for you, we invite you to support the congregation, and you can do that at houseforall.org. There's a PayPal button there. Also, we'd love for you to come and join us for liturgy. We meet at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Sundays at 2201 Dexter in Denver.